From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles the rich musical palette of Ceramic and their debut LP, The Past Ain't Far. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. Singer-songwriter John Schieffer's first step into music was through his father's enormous record collection. This gave rise to a fascination with music that inspires his own work today with his band, Ceramic. The diversity can be heard on Ceramic's debut LP, The Past Ain't Far. I had a chance to speak with John Schieffer of Ceramic, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From the CD The Past Ain't Far, here is Ceramic with You Give More Than Enough. We'll be right back. From the CD The Past Ain't Far, that was Ceramic with You Give More Than Enough. Visit the band at their official website, www.ceramicmusic.com. I had a chance to speak with John Schieffer of Ceramic over the phone, and here's how it went. Past Ain't Far is a wonderful album. Now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
I'm just glad that it's finished. I've been working on it for quite a while, and you know, it's like these things start off. I mean, everything kind of started off as just a song on an acoustic guitar, and then you know, you give it to the band, and then you take these things into the studio, and then they just kind of take on a life of their own, and that's exactly what had happened. And I'm actually very happy with the end result.
And I understand that there was an EP released before this one. How do you think this recording is different from the EP besides the length?
Well, the length of time that it took to record this one, The Past Ain't Far, was considerably longer. There was more, I would say, more budget issues. It seems like the more songs you have, the more money you need. they were both recorded. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. The EP was recorded in New York, and The Past Ain't Far, kind of. Flip-flopped. It started in New York, and then my producer, Charles Newman, had moved out to California, and so at some point, I mean, I remember him telling me, I'm moving to California, and I said, what about my records? And he said, please, you come on out, and we'll do some stuff out there, and I ended up, getting on the plane, and we did a bunch of recording, and in Los Angeles, but in Los Feliz, Eagle Rock. We did some stuff in his apartment. The venues changed. We actually used a lot of different studios. So, and I think that actually helped with giving it such a unique sound, because we're using all these different types of, you know, some analog equipment and digital equipment. I was just going to say the end result is kind of, you know, all encompassing of, you know, sort of like an East and West Coast thing.
I just love how you can record anything anywhere these days.
Yeah,
I think it's just great. I mean, back, you know, in the old days, you went to Electric Ladyland and got it done there. And
yeah,
you can record in your bedroom, in your living room, and wherever now. And I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of days ago. We were talking about, I had just said that, you know, I had, for the EP, I remember buying 2-inch tape, and you know, with this record, I mean, I bought two hard drives. And I mean, I still use some analog stuff. There are some field recordings that I did when I was in college that we were able to incorporate into some of the song. Actually, the title track, The Past Ain't Far, actually has some of those field recordings that I did, and they were just like domestic and industrial sounds of water, and the industrial sounds of water that we used were, I recorded an espresso machine, and we kind of ran that into Pro Tools and added a little reverb to it. It really, it's just like an interesting thing to kind of pull out from a long time ago.
I see. And talk about the genesis of this band. How did it start?
Well, it's interesting. The guy that did some of the drumming on the record, I met at where I was working at the time at this post-production facility in Manhattan, and he happened to be kind of like a jazz player around town, and we just started talking about music, and next thing I know, I was like, I've got a couple of shows coming up. I need a drummer. Would you be interested in doing some stuff with me? And luckily he did. And from there, he introduced me to a bunch of other people that he was playing with. And through that, I met a keyboard player, this guy Dan Stein, that had a studio in his basement in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And that's where we started working on the record. And then my friend Jamie, the drummer that I was just telling you about, moved out to San Francisco, and he had recommended some guy that thought would be a good fit, and that guy actually finished the record with me and has been playing shows with me on and off for the last four or five years, and he's just a tremendous drummer and a great percussion player as well. Bass player came in is through another referral, but it was interesting. It was like these guys. It's how they came into the mix of things was fate.
Kismet.
And they're all great guys, and it's really hard. I think in New York, you've got tons of musicians at your disposal, but drummers are key, and it's really hard to find. I mean, I feel like there's a select few in New York City that actually can keep time, and I was blessed to have one of them. And just thank my lucky stars that they're enthusiastic about the project, and they're interested in doing more stuff, and trying to figure out a budget for the next thing. Hopefully we'll go from there.
And talk about how music began for you.
I would say, I was very fortunate as a child to have a dad that was an avid record collector, and so when I was growing up, there was tons of records in the house and lots of music always being played, and I have come from a long lineage on my mother's side of guitar players. All of my uncles are, and these are my grandmother's brothers, are all pretty good polka musicians. And so these guys, we'd go to family reunions, and they'd be singing a lot of like Pentecostal hymns, and there'd be some like Hank Williams gospel stuff, and then like a ton of like polka stuff. And there's an interesting story. My sister and I are actually trying to locate my great-grandfather's acoustic guitar right now. And somewhere in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, my sister's actually making a pilgrimage up there next Saturday to... 'cause my Nana swears that this guitar is in the basement of the house that she grew up in. Some of her family is still in the house, so my sister's taking her camera, and she, you know, so hopefully we'll find it. But you know, with in regards to listening to music, I mean, you know, my parents actually gave me a Mickey Mouse record player, I think, for my third Christmas, and you know, a bunch of records, and you know, it's like, it's just been, I actually have a picture of myself at preschool with a battery powered record player and some 45s.
Wow.
And so it's, I feel like it's definitely in the blood. And you know, I was like, my dad had like tons of like country records and rhythm and blues records, and you know, this is a lot. I remember he constantly played the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore East. I remember that pink Capricorn label actually spinning around on his turntable, and that was kind of like my big thing, where, you know, the record would end and you'd be like, all right, you go flip the record. And it was like such an amazing thing for me to be trusted with my dad's like AR turntable. You know, and to, you know, and to be able to like place the needle on the record, you know. And so yeah, those are kind of like my first, that was like my first introduction, I think, to music, you know, as a listener.
You see.
And, which, I still am. I'm still like an avid record collector. And, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, vinyl. I mean, it could be like a download or a CD, but still love the hunt, finding good music.
Visit the band at their official website, www.ceramicmusic.com. From their CD, The Past Ain't Far, here is Ceramic once again with How Can I Return?
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush will return in just a moment. Rockwired.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Jane Badler, and her intoxicating forthcoming CD, Tears Again, featuring the band Sir. This time around, Jane gets down and dirty as only the legendary sci-fi vixen can, with a sinewy collection of edgy, witty songs that take the listener on a journey through that disaster area called romantic love. With tracks such as Four Corners, Men Who Lie, and I Don't Trust Women, and the slinky first single, The Wrong People, love and life never sounded more chaotic, or this sexy. Jane Badler, Tears Again, Rockwired's Artist of the Month. Visit Jane at myspace.com/JaneBadler.
Sometimes I wonder why I just don't.
You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for the band Ceramic and their extraordinary debut LP, The Past Ain't Far. I had a chance to speak with the band's founder, John Schieffer, over the phone, and here's how it went. Explain, if it can be explained, the songwriting process for you. How do you go about it?
It's usually just... sitting around, it's funny. I'm gonna say I usually start off playing somebody else's song, and the next thing I know I'm tweaking something, and maybe some lyrics come, and I just start singing a melody. It happens like a whole bunch of different ways. Sometimes it's interesting. I feel like a lot of ideas come when I'm in motion. So I might be walking or riding my bike, and maybe a melody or something will pop in to my head, and I'll call home and just get it down on the answering machine. Or now sometimes I have a handheld device with me where I'll just record something with the device, I would say, probably 80% of the time I usually have a guitar in my hand when I'm working on something or, just messing around, and then, all of a sudden something happens and, you have a melody and you have, there's a chord progression, and some things come quick, and then other times they don't come as quick. It's like sometimes you start something and then a year later you find it on some tape. You're like, oh man, I should really pick up where I left off on that thing. I feel like it varies. And then, other times I'll sit down to piano or something. I mean, my skills on the piano are pretty rudimentary, but I can get a decent melody out of it and some chords. And so sometimes that's an interesting approach, is actually like going with an instrument that you're not that well versed on, and then something else interesting happens.
With that being said, what songs off of the album resonate for you the most, and why?
Probably, for one, I'm going to say Blue Comet, which is kind of a nostalgic tune for me, just because when I was growing up as a kid, I lived near about 100 yards from some train tracks along the Susquehanna River in south central Pennsylvania, and you know, I mean, this train would haul cars and coal, you know, through our town, and late at night, I mean, this train sounded like, I mean, it was a freight train, and it sounded like it was, you know, something was taking off outside of your window. And I mean, you know, the house shook. And so, you know, I mean, just the whole premise of the tune and how, you know, it ran through New Cumberland, and I would, at some point, I think, I mean, I would sleep through it, but it would always kind of wake me up a little bit. And, you know, it was just like such a loud sound. It almost was like, kind of, you got an idea of what it was like to live, you know, like, kind of observe the Blitzkrieg and during World War II.
I used to live across from train tracks, so I think I get what you mean.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, well, these things would haul ass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, after like 11 o'clock at night, you know, the speed limit of these things would, I mean, they would just, it was so loud, so fast, and there were sparks that would fly everywhere. So, you know, I would say Blue Comet, what other song? Angels in the Desert, there's a friend of mine that actually volunteered to go to Iraq. He actually did two tours of Iraq, and I remember being at a going away party for him, and you know, just going home that night after many beers and like sitting down and just kind of trying to put myself in his shoes, and you know, about what he was about to embark on, and so that song, I think, has a special kind of sentiment for me. And this was a guy that, I mean, I grew up with. I'd known him since we were 13 years old, and luckily he did his two tours, and now he's back here, So, I would say those two. So I don't know. They're, you know, it's like they're all very special in a way, because you work so hard on all of them to actually kind of shape them, and then you give them away to other musicians to, you know, kind of at some point let them kind of have free rein and interpret, you know, their parts and what they want to do. And then you try and steer the, you know, the whole ship toward some end result. And so they're all very, I don't know, you know, it's like, I like them all.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this album?
Gosh, you know, hopefully one more. You know, because I think in the course of recording this record, I probably wrote maybe, oh my God, I don't know, 20 to 30 more songs. And you know, I'm like, there's a lot, I feel like there's definitely kind of like a headphones only approach to it, because there's I feel like there's a lot of intimacy with how certain things are recording, and you want everybody to hear everything. And you know, like what I like about some of my favorite records, like, I love Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones, and I've listened to that record, I mean, I don't know how many thousands of times, but there's always something new that you hear, whether it's, you know, like a pull off that Keith did on a, you know, on a string on a guitar, or a certain way that a note was played, or, you know, maybe like a certain, I don't know, like musical, like drum misstep that Charlie did, or it's just like, you know, it's that way with, you know, some Beatles records and, you know, tons of like Jimi Hendrix stuff. It's like, you know, that's what I love about the whole listening aspect. It's like there are so many different things that, you know, that you catch and that maybe you don't catch the first time you heard it, or even the 100th time you've heard it.
Visit the band at their official website, www.ceramicmusic.com. Here is Ceramic with the title track of their new CD, The Past Ain't Far.
Thank you.
that's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to John Schieffer of Ceramic and Aronda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. Visit the band at www.ceramicband.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush. Remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Now the hard times are behind us, but let's not